Some time ago, I was called to the emergency room to provide support to a family member. Upon arriving, I was asked to meet with the mother of a child involved in a car accident. The child had been riding with his dad when their car was involved in a multi-vehicle pileup. As I gathered information from the medical staff and the police officers, I was told that the child had died at the scene. He was 2 years old. Mom was sitting in a chair in the hall waiting for her family to arrive by ambulance. Mom had not yet been told the condition of her husband or of her child's death. As the police officers, the police chaplain, and I approached her, she began to cry. She sensed the news was not good. It was up to the officer to inform her of the accident and the death of her son, and he did so as compassionately as possible. The news was devastating, of course. It was then up to the hospital chaplain, me, to provide whatever support I could and remain with her while we continued to wait for the arrival of her husband by ambulance. I knelt down on my knees beside her chair, and we waited. Her pain was all-encompassing, a suffering that no words or actions on my part could ease. She began to sob and rock back and forth, desperately trying to absorb the news, yet disbelieving it was real, hoping beyond all hope it was all a nightmare that would soon end. There are no words at times like that. This was her baby, her child that she had been blessed to give birth to and cared for and loved and nurtured for 2 years, and had hopes and dreams for his life and future together as a family. After tears of grief and expressions of disbelief and pain and loss, she began to ask out loud, "Why did this happen? Why? Why? My child was innocent and perfect. I need him. He can't be dead." And then she pleaded with God, "Why, God? I'm a good mother. I love my child. Take me instead. This can't be true. He needs to be with his mom." Then she sat up a bit and looked at me. "You're a chaplain. Tell me, I'm a good mom. Why did God take my son from me? He can't need him in heaven more than I need him here with me. Why did God take my son? Why?" Then she stared at me through her tear-filled eyes, waiting for an answer that was not possible to give. "I don't think there is an answer to that question. You love your son very much. Your heart must be breaking right now. I'm so sorry." And I cried with her. Later, some other family and close friends arrived, and the dad was in a room being cared for by the emergency department staff, and Mom was at his bedside. The police chaplain came over to me and said, "That was a good answer to her question." I said, "Thanks," but I began to wonder what he might have said. And later on my drive home, I began to mull over all the trite answers and quotes that I had heard in my nearly four decades of ministry. Maybe he would have used some of those. That young mother's why question is important. In the midst of pain and suffering, it's natural to want answers. We're out of balance, not able to make sense of things sometimes, and we all want to be in control in our lives. And we want to make some sense of what's happening. What she was asking was not about the graphic details of how the driver of one vehicle lost control, overcorrected, rolled, and caused multiple vehicles behind and around him to become involved in the wreck. She didn't at that point want to know the exact injuries her son had received and what part of the car hit him where and how his body went into shock and that the severe trauma to his head prevented the brain from getting enough oxygen to continue to function. No. She wanted to know why her life was now to be devoid of the loving presence of her child. Why did God take her son? Why? If one has a myopic view of life and death, or a toxic kind of belief that tells me if I am good, God will bless and protect me and my family, Life will undoubtedly kick our legs out from under us at some point, and probably many points. And so often in tragic situations, meaningful yet naive and ignorant people say stupid things. Oh, we don't know why now, but we know it was God's will. We'll just have to trust Him. We'll have to wait until we get to heaven to know that answer. Or maybe God knew of things that would make him suffer horrible later in life and decided to spare him that pain, as if life is some kind of cosmic soap opera where God knows how the next episode ends. God must have needed him for something special. Or God knows your pain. He lost a son too. And on the trite phrases go. I, like our recent interim minister, Dana, think of John Lennon's instant karma as holy writ. Instant karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head. You better get yourself together. Pretty soon, you're gonna be dead. See, we atheists do have words and hymns. They're just mostly by John Lennon. The truth is, no one gets out of life alive. Every morning when we wake up, we should try to be thankful we're on the green side of the sod, and be thankful when we hear the voice of our life mate coming in the door, already asking questions and wanting our attention. And be grateful when our children call, even if it's evening in Japan and middle of the night in the U.S., and even if it's to ask money to help with expenses. Thich Nhat Hanh writes in his book, Peace is Every Step, peace is present right here and now, in ourselves and in everything we do and see. The question is whether or not we are in touch with it. We don't have to travel far away to enjoy the blue sky. We don't have to leave our city or even our neighborhood to enjoy the eyes of a beautiful child. Even the air we breathe can be a source of joy. Okay, so he hadn't lived in the valley during fire season. And he continues, we are very good at preparing to live, but not very good at living. We know how to sacrifice 10 years for a diploma. And we're willing to work very hard to get a job, a car, a house, and so on. But we have difficulty remembering that we are alive in the present moment, the only moment there is for us to be alive. Now, I don't mean to negate or diminish asking the why question. The difficulty is when one settles for easy, canned answers, and then wants to make sure everyone else accepts them as well. Or even worse, when one gets stuck in asking the question and can never be fully solved. It becomes pointless to try to figure out the why of many things in life. Why? Because at some point, the thinking and conversation needs to move forward with what now? What do I do with today? What can I do to move forward and use my experiences to prepare for the next crisis? Or help others find support and solace in their time of suffering? Leaving the why question behind and experiencing the here and now of life. Why? Because. With each personal loss, whether it's something as major as the death of a loved one or a close friend, or lesser events like losing a promotion or sending our child off to college or coming to grips with health issues as we age, we are given the opportunity to grow and become wiser and learn more about ourselves and life and death. It is precisely that process the reflecting, and the growing that are the most important parts of our personal journey. And it's in that reflecting and honest questing that we become stronger and better at owning up to and experiencing the unknowns. It's not the number of losses that we've experienced that determines how well we cope and continue living. It's how we reflect on those losses and grow in our understanding of ourselves, others, and our universe. It's how we reflect and grow, nurturing what is helpful, letting go of what is not helpful or even unhealthy in our coping. Standing with family and loved ones around the bed of one who has just died, I often hear the question, why? In my early years of ministry, I tried rather naively to answer that question. It's a natural part of trying to make sense of life and helping others. There's nothing wrong with the question, but there are really no satisfactory answers. The question simply gives voice to our pain. Why? Because. Often we hear a passage from Jewish Christian traditions read during memorial services and funerals. Some of us probably remember it from the Mamas and Papas hit. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. It may be true, but it still doesn't adequately answer the why question. Nothing really does. Why? Because. There comes a time in our life journey when the why question begins to evolve, to change, to metamorphosize like a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. From why to what now? That's where growth and meaning take place. It's at that point where we begin to reflect on what's occurred and look ahead toward what's next. If we get stuck in the why and never allow our spirit to ask, what now? We will turn inward on our pain and shrivel and die inside. It's the what now? The how can I grow and move forward that will foster healing and growth and health and prepare us for our continuing journey with courage and strength. Funny, isn't it? How life is full of those dual realities. As the writer of Ecclesiastes said, looking back, looking forward, laughter, tears, pain, joy, love, loss. As Scott Peck said in the opening words of The Road Less Traveled, life is difficult. But once we accept that, really accept it and stop secretly believing it should be otherwise, then life's no longer difficult. It simply is. Why? Because. Over the years, I've done far too little reflecting and learning and growing. But I have come to some awareness for me about what can bring meaning to my life and help me, maybe us, prepare for the next crisis. I want to spend less time worrying about what might happen and more time enjoying this day that is mine. I hope to spend less time regretting past mistakes and sins and more time forgiving and loving myself and others. I want to concentrate more on being really present to people, really listening, really caring, and on less on being right. I want to listen more for the sound of the universe as it comes to me in the rustling trees, the purring of my cats, the peaceful quiet of the deep forest, and the rushing water of the river. And the request of life coming through my children to spend time playing Scrabble with them or talking on the phone. I want to eat less fast food and spend more time eating slowly, enjoying the wonderful abundance the earth provides. I want to feel free to cry when I am sad and not be apologetic. And I want to feel free to tell a joke and laugh when I'm joyful and not be apologetic. I want to be still more, experiencing the energy of life all around me and be busy less. I want to invest less and less in material goods and more in meaningful, loving relationships. I want to read more of the books my children like to read and fill in all the gaps in my own learning over the years and be less concerned about what the S&P closed at today. I want to explore nature, leaving concrete behind. I want to get to know more about me, the real me, the inner child, loving, inquisitive me, rather than working toward what someone else defines as success. I want to reflect more on life and living and loving and spend more time sharing what I find. Why? Because. Amen, and may it be so.